What is going on, everyone? It is Tuesday, March 10th, and you are watching or listening to another episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. As of right now, you've got me, Evan, alongside Aaron, as long as he has internet, assuming the storm in Northwest Indiana doesn't take out the whole region. And hopefully Tanner can join us here shortly. I know he had some prior commitments. But yeah, it is officially the postseason for all college basketball after we saw Purdue last week since our last episode split with a, I guess you can call it a thrilling victory up in Evanston against Northwestern 70-66, and then just a disappointing home loss, and really was a home shootout against the Badgers on Saturday with a loss of 97-93. We'll be covering both of those a little bit. Obviously, the big elephant in the room of what's Purdue going to do in the postseason, not only the Big Ten tournament, but the NCAA tournament and beyond. But Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good for the most part right now. We'll see what happens here soon.
Yeah, hopefully Tanner can hop on before your internet goes out, because I'm not sure I can do this thing solo. But yeah, obviously since our last pod, we saw the Boilers coming off the loss at Ohio State, going into a place in Northwestern where the seniors haven't won yet. Last year they didn't play up there, but the two previous years they were knocked off while being number one. And you know, a game that Purdue actually found themselves down by 9 at halftime, or down double digits early in the second half, and then Mr. CJ Cox kind of pulled the boys through for a
truly
point victory. Truly. Yeah,
was the only one that pulled them through, because yeah. Martelli was taking over that game. And if he doesn't step up, we lose, because they made the adjustments at halftime in regards to the defense and what they were seeing. They definitely were rattled first half. That there's no doubt about it. And it did get them off their shot, off their spot, especially in a hostile environment that surprised to say that's a hostile environment, but it was a sold out crowd.
I think it was their first sellout all year.
Tickets were at $280 for that. Well, try and
read them. I can't believe that. Like, they didn't. Maybe they did. I don't know. But I swear that they said it was the first sell. Because I can't believe they wouldn't sell for like Illinois, with how many Illinois fans obviously are right there. And I'm surprised that that wasn't a thing. But yeah, credit to them. It's been a kind of a house of horrors for Purdue recently. They're a tough team. They definitely took Braden out of his game. They pressured him really well, kind of forced him off the three-point line, kind of made him, you know,
pick up his dribble multiple times.
Yeah, weren't able to the point where he couldn't look to score. They were taking it away, which credit to them. And he was doing what he needed to do and getting others involved. It's just we weren't hitting shots until finally CJ, you know, goes 10 of 13, hit how many threes?
Five threes?
5 of 8, yeah. For 27 points, you had Lawyer go 2 of 6 from 3, 4 of 9 from the field. Traykoff and Moran had 11 points, 5 of 9 from the field. Oscar added 9. Braden had 7, but 9 assists. Also had 4 turnovers. And really, I mean, you only had 6 points off the bench. You had 3 from Benter and 3 from Harris, both hit a 3. So really not much production off the bench at all. Like we mentioned, Martinelli had 28. Only other scorer in double digits for Northwestern was Reed with 16. But yeah, it was a game that, like, kind of what we saw, kind of a theme of the season where Purdue, you know, got down big, kind of fought back a little bit, you know, kept it within single digit at half and thought, okay, you know, the first couple minutes of the second half is going to be the key, and then kind of found themselves down double digits and it was looking a little dicey, and thankfully they were able to pull it through. And yeah, I mean, thankfully CJ was hitting shots, because that could have got real ugly real fast.
It got real ugly, real ugly. Martinelli was doing whatever he wanted on the offensive board, like offensive floor on the second half, when taking 19 of 28 points were in the second half, which kudos to me, calling player of the game on him. but he was getting in the post, he was getting on the block, he was even hitting from range, and it just shows the defensive, I don't want to say the ineffectiveness and inconsistency of this team defensively. When you have an inferior team being in a game like this, and they're not, I wouldn't say the worst Big Ten team, but they're a lower tier Big Ten team. And what the admirations and the whole thing for as many years as we can remember in our lifetime. Defense lives here. Well, it don't this year. I mean, that it is for sure. It is an elite offensive team, but defensively, this is not good.
Yeah. And honestly, like we kind of got, and obviously it's part of the game too, but Purdue kind of got a little lucky towards the end. Northwestern just kind of missed some shots at the end. Like there was, I think I said in another one of my group chats I was in, it was like Northwestern was holding the door open for Purdue and Purdue was just moonwalking the other way. There were so many times in that second half, and thankfully Purdue eventually took care of it. But there were so many times where, like, you know, they were down four or, you know, maybe up. I mean, it was like the Purdue would be down like 4 or 2 points. And Northwestern would miss like 2 or 3 shots in a row, and Purdue just could not take the lead until finally at the end they did. But yeah, it was. I mean, kudos to them for pulling it out. I mean, that's a seed saver for sure, because that definitely would have dropped you out of any contention for a 3 seed more than likely. Obviously, they're still kind of holding on to bounce between that 3 and 4 seed, depending on potential what could happen in the Big Ten tournament. But it's set up for, you know, a big game in Mackey on Sunday. And kind of what we've seen 4 other times in losses is teams just, obviously you can credit it to defense too, but there's just teams where just found their way to get hot, even with hands in their face sometimes. And it was just one of those where, it was an absolute shootout to the point where Purdue was, you know, lost the first time ever scoring like 90 points in a long time since like the 80s, I think.
Yeah. And, I guess where I'm concerned about, and do we have any other comments on the Northwestern game? Because
no, I mean, it's nice to see that seniors got their win. So outside of the West Coast schools, they've officially won at every Big Ten arena in some capacity.
UCLA,
which they only played once. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah,
so you really can't count that, in my opinion. It is what it is. I think we want to go more though to Saturday, because you escape on Wednesday night, fine. It's a midweek lower, I wouldn't say inferior team, but a lower tier team. Good coach team, though. And Chris Collins, I mean, should have a lifetime contract there for sure.
Yeah, he should.
Where I think this is concerning was the play on Saturday. And offensively, hit the shots, but defensively, and hearing in that press conference, there's nothing I feel like can be done between now and this week, following weeks. It's pretty much matchup dependent and probably the team's ice cold that we're going against.
Yeah.
In the field.
Tanner joins us now.
Hey, fellas.
Perfect time to talk about a game you weren't able to watch on Saturday.
Not a single second. Listen to a little bit of the second half. That was it.
Yeah. To me, it felt like, in a way, a carbon copy of the Illinois game. Just a team that, you know, just was going off from three. And a game also Purdue played a really good offensive game, too. But it was just the kind of lack of defense just the defensive, you know, struggles that we've seen time and time again. And obviously there were changes. There was a point where right at the end where Wisconsin missed a couple shots, and there was a possession where Braden kind of basically just dribbled down, took a three, missed it. Another possession, I think, traded a push shot, missed it. Like there was, you know, it was a one possession game, and Purdue wasn't able to capitalize. And then Nick Boyd, credit to him, just kind of took over and was able to get to the rim and got fouled or hits really stupid circus shots that kind of iced the game.
There's a couple of those, but he is a very good player, and he definitely started the game on that one. I will say what was more concerning. I know the bad calls didn't affect that game from the officiating crew. What affected that game was, and I don't know from what you were seeing on Saturday when you were there, it looks like guys, they're looking at the ball, and the guys, they're not paying attention to the defender, especially on dribble drive motions inside the kick out for that extra pass, or even what's around them on the block.
Yeah. What I was kind of seeing, and we've seen it, you know, obviously multiple times, is where I think it all starts is just guys not keeping their man in front of them on a dribble drive. Like, we're to a point where it's like, obviously, there's some guys, you know, like there's just some guys who are just going to beat you, which is, it is what it is. That's basketball. But there's just sometimes where it just felt like they're almost conceding the dribble It's like, yeah, I'll let you drive and then force you to pass it. But then it just would get, you know, they get guys in rotation and guys would overcommit on the help, which, you know, is a communication issue or just like, cause there's, I've seen obviously the discourse behind, you know, Purdue's scheme and all that. And I don't think it's a scheme issue. Just it's guys just aren't executing the way what they're supposed to do. Like, I don't know what you guys think, but I just feel like just from what I've seen is like, I know what they're supposed to be doing, obviously in some concept. I mean, obviously I'm not a coach and don't have the basketball mind of a coach, but
none of us on this podcast are. So
right. Yeah. So yeah, we're, you know, Monday morning quarterback, sorry, or armchair quarterback, whatever. But it's just, I just feel like when I just see a guy almost take a step and then like the Purdue defenders kind of like turn his body, just be like, yeah, I'll let you go. It's like, what are we doing? Like take a cut that dribble off for a second and do something. Which just comes from either pride or whatever. I don't know.
There's no contact in regards to at least trying to push the guy off. And I understand, but you're trying to move that guy off his spot. Mm-hmm. And then you're relying on the help defense below, which then Clough's looking at his guy. And I saw there's times he's on the block, then he's coming over to rotate help. It's usually, it's not the, you know, the pass right there. It's the hockey pass. And then it comes back around. Mm-hmm. That yeah. then kills it because it's wide open shots, and that's where they were making threes between Blackwell or Boyd on Saturday. Yeah. And that's the same thing that was happening with Illinois too.
Yeah, it reminds me of a clip. I can't remember what game it was from, but it was one of the post game videos that they do after a win. But it was like Painter talking about on offense of like they're probably going to stop that first or second action, but make them stop the third or fourth. And that's exactly what these teams are doing to Purdue is, you know, Purdue might be, yeah, they're stopping the first or second action, but then the longer that play goes on, you know, they're just eventually, it's what good offenses do is they just find the breakdown. And so credit to those teams for doing that, but it was just, it's really frustrating to see a team come in and hit 18 threes, see two big men for a school combined for more threes than they did rebounds, which is what yep. Wisconsin's big men. And they're without one of their better big men, Noah Winner, which is frustrating.
That brings me to a point. You think about this game, you think about Illinois, both games, they're missing starters, Illinois and Boswell, Wisconsin Winter. And right away going into the game, you're like, oh, that's going to be advantage Purdue. I think it all was almost advantage Illinois and Wisconsin because it opened up other guys for threes.
Yeah, I think back to, gosh, what I think was maybe Ivy's year down in Indiana where Trace Jackson Davis got in foul trouble, like it was like out most of the game, and you think, oh my god, he's out of the game, like this is, you know, this is match made for Purdue, and all of a sudden it opens up for guys like Rob Finnessy and the other guys to like that you're not planning for, you know, to go wild, and that's that's kind of what happened with Wisconsin. I mean, I don't follow Wisconsin super closely outside of just the Big Ten in general, but like they had a guy hitting threes. I was like, I don't know who this guy is. Like he was just nailing them. There'd be times where, I mean, with hands in his face, he was hitting them. But there were some where they were wide open. But yeah, I think there is something to that of like maybe it's a mental thing of like the guys think, oh, they're without one of their better players. We beat them already, like, you know, at their place, pretty handy. Obviously, we are up huge, and they came back, but we still won by double digits on the road.
They couldn't hit the broad side of the bar in that game.
Yeah. And you just wonder, is there just some mental little lapse, like, oh, we're at home, they're without one of their starters or a key player, like, which you just can't do, which is frustrating. But, yeah, it's just it was just wild just to – and, again, it was one of those things where it got late in the game, and it was still close, but, like, I just didn't have the confidence. I was like, I don't think this team can get a stop. Like, I know we can score. That I'm not worried about. It's just, can we get a freaking stop when we need it? And they're like, yeah. I said, the couple times we were able to get, you know, they missed a shot and we got the rebound. We couldn't turn in the points, which was the frustrating part.
It's definitely a team built for offense. It's one of the better offensive teams, not the best offensive Purdue team I've seen in my lifetime, but fortunately defense, it might be.
Which is hilarious. Cause like at the start of the year, a lot of people were like, you know, yeah. Cause we weren't a great defensive team last year. We were at times serviceable, and it was like, hey, we can just be, and we thought, hey, you know, we got Clough better rebounding, like if we can just be serviceable, we're just gonna outscore everybody, and it's not the case this year.
Nope.
Yeah,
I before I potentially lose my internet, I do want to get to the positive part about Saturday, which leads me to my blind rankings tonight.
Okay.
And that was senior day celebration. I know the seniors didn't go out what they want. I know the senior class, depending what happens in the next three weeks, whatever, four, if we can get there. Going to be remembered probably differently than probably what the expectations were coming in this season. But
or still, by how they should be remembered, too, in fairness.
They might be remembered as BD's role players.
Which is unfortunate, but...
Yep. Anyhow, I thought about this when Braden was going through, and I was watching the ceremony, like, later on. And I had thoughts to myself was, who's your guys' favorite player that ever wore three? And I thought, this is going to be a good one. So, before I lose internet, I have five players, all from our lifetime, all from this 2000 on, that wore the number three. And I want you to rank them on which one was your favorite. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, starting off, freshman year, P.J. Thompson.
Freshman year, P.J. Thompson. So, is this specific? To 11,
right? Yeah, switched to 11.
That's right. That's right. He did. Mm-hmm. Man.
Put him at four.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm going to put him at four just because he was a freshman, you know, wasn't highly ranked coming in, but out of Brebeuf Jesuit High School, which is actually not too far from where I live. But, yeah, obviously – didn't expect him to come in and light the world on fire, but he was rock steady.
He's a pretty solid freshman.
Yeah.
Especially being underranked. All right. Next one. Carson Edwards.
Two.
I think I'm going to put him at one. Just, yeah. I mean, obviously the run helped, but I mean, I loved him. Even as a freshman coming
off. He's fun to watch. Fearless.
Yeah, that sophomore year when he started with that 18 team. And, yeah, just his ability just to go absolutely nuclear was so fun to watch. It's something we really hadn't seen at Purdue. Like, I mean, obviously guys like Etwan Moore could score. Robbie had his chances. But, like, just for guys to be, like, the moment he crossed half court, he was in range. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, going nuclear on our next one. Ronnie John.
Five. God.
Can I put him at 15? Is that possible?
Nope. There was hype. I mean, I remember you both were excited about him.
Sure.
Recruit.
Well, yeah.
It's a bad fit. Never
panned out.
That's true.
All right. Next one. Braden.
Two.
Three.
Okay. I have a feeling Cameron's waiting for the mic. I agree with this one. Chris Kramer.
Yeah.
One. He's my favorite Purdue player of all time. So,
yeah.
And I don't want to re-rank. I'm completely happy with my list.
I'm happy with mine. I'll put him at three, I think, fitting for that. But yeah, it was, you know, Painter's first class, you know, Indiana kid, tough as nails. Mm. Just, you know, we knew he was going to be a defensive stopper and, he scored pretty well, pretty good in high school, but
he was the third leading scorer on that team that lost to Florida behind Landry and T.
Yeah.
He knew his role.
Yeah. He came in and totally bought into what's going to get him on the court. And we always have a conversation like, how would he fare in today's game? Just with this. Yeah.
And you were bringing up earlier about Carson, you know, and he was real homesick his freshman year. Thank goodness there wasn't NIL. In the portal back then, because he'd probably been gone after his freshman year.
Yeah,
going back home. But Kramer won the hearts of Purdue fans with a chest bump to DJ White. So
yeah, as a freshman, yeah. Yeah, just tough as nails. I mean, obviously he had the took the elbow to the face. Mm-hmm. From Manny Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Manny Harris came back out with a mask.
His junior year. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously the game winning layup against Texas A&M in the tournament in the second round. The dunk against Illinois' freshman year when Painter got pissed off at him.
The swim against Tennessee his senior year.
Yeah, yeah. The shot from his knees his freshman year against Arizona. Yep. To put him three is crazy, but Braden is something else for me.
It's a heck of a number when you look at it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Chris Hartley. Yeah.
Brett Buescher.
I didn't want to go that way, but. I wanted to kind of keep it at least relevant. That
I think all was it. Chad or Woody Austin, I think one of them was three in the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I will say this. The one things I miss I wish this team had from Chris Kramer. That will never exist again. If like a defensive guard that was that tenacious and that big, that's like putting Omer not scoring in those shorts.
Yeah.
I miss those shorts.
Yeah. Those are nuts.
Like at the time, they seem fine. You go back and watch, it's comical how big they were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you watch like Lou Jack, like they're down to his
literally
shit.
Like down to his ankle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. At the time, it was like that's what like if I had shorts that even touched my knee, like above my, I was just like, get these away from. Like I cannot wear these. Like
yeah.
I'd be like in, you know, in basketball, like freshman, you know, get the scraps as a freshman or even JV. It was like I get shorts. Like you get kind of you didn't have assigned shorts, at least for us in Rochester. Which was like, you kind of got you. It was first come first serve, and you hoped you didn't get the crappy kinds of. It was above my knee. I was like, I feel naked out here, man. This is awful.
I was the smallest guy. No surprise on my freshman team. There's another guy that was small too, but so we'd get the. I mean, we got the two smallest shorts, and more games than not, I got a pair that it didn't have strings.
Oh no!
I had to tape them around my waist so they stayed up during the games. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man,
how hillbilly is that?
Yeah.
Number 12 with tape around his waist.
Well, then I hope it comes back. I miss him.
Good list. That was a good list.
Trends come back.
It needs to come back.
Yeah. I mean, going back to, I mean, senior day was, you know, it was nice. It was cool to see a lot of people did stay. You know, I did wonder, like, I was like, man, I hope people don't bail. I mean, you get pissed off. Like, I get it. Even Fletcher even said in his speech, he's like, thank you for staying. I know I wouldn't have if we had lost. Like,
kind of wish they'd do before the game just because of that, but more times than not, it's not a problem. So,
yeah. They're all great. I mean, obviously, the loss kind of made it so it wasn't as emotional like it was like for Edie or guys like, you know, the baby boys or something like that. So that did suck. Like, it was more emotional like during the starting lineups and then run out of the tunnel and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it was all really good. I mean, it was credit to the fans for staying. Painter even acknowledged it. And obviously, I mean, they know what's ahead of them. And I'm still a believer that I could see this team making a run. But I also, on the flip side, I can see them losing first weekend. They'll definitely be the whatever seed they get. They'll probably be the trendiest upset pick like they were last year. But hopefully, if anything, hopefully that gives them a chip on their shoulder and they can play as underdogs the first time in a couple of years, it feels like.
Yeah, in the Big Ten tournament, I mean, it sucks to be a 7 seed. And I never in my wildest dreams I would have thought this team would be a 7 seed in the Big Ten tournament or lose 5 home games, but here we are. Yeah. But I don't think they could have asked for a better path
right to
the championship.
Yeah. Obviously, you get the winner of Penn State versus Northwestern, and then they play IU, which could set up for the first matchup since 98, the first year of it. And the rubber match for the season.
And it would be IU would probably, that could be a win and end game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Lenardi had them as last 4 in today.
It's freaking crazy. Why?
Yeah.
Such a weak bubble.
It is. Especially like with a team like Stanford, who was first 4 out in his bracket, lost today. So they're
crazy tipping at the buzzer.
Yeah. I mean, any other thing that any lunch you want to talk about Wisconsin? We can just kind of talk about, I mean, Big Ten tournament, kind of in beyond, or I mean,
I don't think there's really much else to talk besides, you know, it was nice. Fletcher did get on senior day last day in the crowd. The
very last 3. Yeah.
Yep.
That was cool because Painter even, because like the whole thing is, you know, oh, Carson did it in 3 years, but Painter even mentioned during the speech, he's like, Carson had more attempts still, though, so he can't be too mad at because Fletcher was able to get it in less attempts. So credit to that. One of my all-time favorites. People crap on him all the time, and I get it. But he was a kid that, I mean, I know Tanner, you can attest that since we started, like when he kind of came on the radar, I was like, I want this kid at Purdue when he was up in still Michigan before he'd even transferred to Fort Wayne. Yeah, it was cool to see, you know, the 3 guys talk, and I mean, just good dudes. I mean, obviously basketball is one thing, but it's just nice to see they're just good dudes and good representative of Purdue, and knowing that he could have easily transferred even after the freshman year, after the disaster that we saw with the 16 seed. But they chose to stick it out. Obviously we're close to the mountaintop as you can get, without being there, and even still decided to come back and run it back one last time, which is
pretty cool and just obviously not common in today's college athletics.
Yeah, I think they're loved by a majority of Purdue fans, but even the ones that don't love them will learn to eventually. They'll look back very fondly on their eras. They're just frustrated right now.
Rightfully so. We're all frustrated.
They're frustrated. Everybody should be frustrated. This is not how the season was supposed to go, but the story's not over yet. So
yeah.
No, it's not. And I think that's the big thing. It's the most favorable matchup they could have gotten for a Big Ten tournament in regards to probably improving their seeding. And everything, even Painter's press conference, is this team built for March? And it's all matchup dependent. So
we did see last year, obviously Purdue stumbled towards the end. And I mean, Grant, again, they're playing a lower seed, but that's everybody's picked for us to lose. But like the defense all of a sudden kind of ramped up and played a lot better. Like you could just tell they were more dialed in. Braden, I mean, even in that Houston game he had that game off string. So you hope that kind of comes through again. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know about the Big Ten tournament. I mean, I still like, obviously, I want Purdue to win it, but if Purdue makes it to Saturday, I'll be thrilled.
That's like, where I am. Make it Saturday. Like, all the rest gravy.
Yeah. You avoid playing Michigan early on. I would like to get a shot at Illinois, but I'd be happy to wait until play them until Sunday. Nebraska as a team, obviously, we're up 22 and took it to overtime, but still, like, it's not a team that, you know, they don't have the guards that can like truly beat you off the dribble like a Jeremy Fears, a Boswell or Wagler can do that gave Purdue a lot of trouble, or Boyd. And you avoid kind of a lot of those teams until you get to essentially it would be Sunday. So
and you lost to Michigan State by two at home, but you play a style that you can hang in there with them.
Yeah.
UCLA, I'd love another crack at that game. Yeah. Still pisses me
especially
off.
In the Eastern Central time zone.
Yeah, they'll have like 100 fans there. Like I said last time on my other podcast, if Purdue can get past Indiana or Northwestern or Penn State, then it's kind of revenge tour the whole way, the whole side of the bracket. So.
Which is sad because it just shows how many teams beat Purdue.
I know. But, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I think the Nebraska game is going to be harder to think if we can get past Thursday.
Oh, yeah. They'll be out for blood. I hope they have a ton of fans. They deserve to have a ton of fans there. I mean, best team literally in program history. So,
well, my thing is the matchup issue with Mass, because Mass didn't play well first game go around. And I think that's probably at least maybe motivated to prove a point. He's going to pull Coughinran or Clough, or I don't think we can rely on Jacobson moving forward. I don't know what the issue is there.
He's a freshman. I mean, I've seen some people that are like out on him. It's like, he's a friend. Like he didn't play last year. Like, and he's going through that wall. Like, yeah, he makes mistakes, but I think he's an NBA player. I really do.
Wow. Maybe that's big because I mean, Wednesday night when he got out rebounded by Reed and he's just standing there, not boxing out. I was like,
he's not an NBA player right now. I think he will be. Yeah. I think he's got the tools and he's give him a full off season with Brantley and, I like it.
We can hope. That's the greatest.
I think he's got potential. I think he's got potential. It's just got to get it out of him.
Yeah. I was hoping he would take a step forward physically. I mean, you break your ankle, but then, you know, you have all that time still.
Supposedly gained 30 pounds, but it just doesn't look like it.
It's his first time going through Big Ten physicality. Obviously, he didn't see it last year, so he kind of knows. I mean, obviously he was ranked a lot higher than this kid, but I mean, Zach Edey wasn't exactly.
Yeah, no.
Zach Edey is freshman year.
I mean, it's easy for me to stay at 5'9", but I wish he wasn't so timid. Especially around random on defense, just go up aggressive. More so than rebounding, just try to block that dang shot. So.
Yeah, and in his defense, he does seem to get absolutely obliterated down there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get called more often than not, which is wild. Mm-hmm. Obviously that comes with the territory sometimes.
He doesn't have the same mentality that Matt Harms did in that same kind of body type. I mean, Matt Harms was wanting to go up and challenge and wanted the competition. I think he shies away from it at times, and I hope that consistency pays forward in regards to making that, you know, a consistent effort, especially if he's got to start in a starting role, because if he does, I mean, he's definitely going to need to be relied on if he wants to come back next year. If not, I mean, we're probably looking at Riley Purges down low. But it's he's got to be a big part if this team wants to go to a Final Four. There's no doubt about it. He's got to have an impact in regards to coming off the bench, spelling Clough, giving the defensive threat down low in the post, and having that presence, and also getting offensive rebounds. And he just does not show it anymore. And it's unfortunate, but we'll see how this plan pans out. Guys, there's a tornado on the ground. So
yeah.
I'll make this quick. How far do you think we get?
I got us going to Saturday and losing to Michigan State.
Okay.
I was doing this earlier, my drive home today. I have us going to Sunday.
I hope you're right.
Whoa.
I could see it, but
yeah.
I could also see us losing Thursday. So.
Nothing about this team would surprise me. Like if we lose, I could see us getting blitzed, on Thursday, God forbid.
By either IU or Northwestern.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the
thing.
I don't want to play Northwestern. I really play IU versus Northwestern.
I could see this, them turning on and just kind of going up against. And I think I would fall to Michigan. I think Michigan, because you always wonder, like, especially a team that dominates like Michigan, which losing one whole game the whole Big Ten season, which is just so impressive. Like, you kind of wonder where their psyche's at, like, because they're a one seed no matter what happens. And especially in the Midwest, because there's no other one seed is really. I mean, you got. Obviously, Arizona's going to be out west. Duke's going to be out east. So you just have the South, which if Florida gets that, they're going to take that. And then obviously the Midwest, which would be Michigan. I think if I could see them maybe like if they're going to lose, they're going to lose like before Saturday. But if they get to Sunday, I think they're winning. At that point, they'll just be like, we're here. Let's win the damn thing. Like, and they're just so good. But I think if Michigan is going to lose, they're going to lose like prior to Sunday, I should say. But I think we'll play against Michigan and it'll be another good game. But I think Michigan will.
It wouldn't surprise me for Ohio State to give them a heck of a game.
Yeah. Or even Illinois, too. Like, I mean, Illinois will have, you'd think Illinois will have the fan base, but Michigan travels really well. So, but
I think this team's getting bounced on Friday night.
It's Nebraska.
Yep.
Hey, Lynch was right last week. He had us win a close one against Northwestern and losing against Wisconsin. So.
There is something to be said, though, about those.
Both player games, too.
Those.
I call
Purdue. I said CJ Cox against Northwestern. So.
There is something about the top four seeds on Friday coming out a little sluggish against those teams that played Thursday night. Right. So that could be something.
Didn't happen to us last year against Michigan, but.
No, but I think Nebraska's gonna be motivated. So
we should be too, though.
I've thought that all February.
I know. At least we get away from Mackey Arena now. Never thought I'd say that, but
right.
Ending the season 6-7. That's
I know it's not good. It's really bad.
We'll see. I think the last thing before I hop off here, I'm delaying the inevitable. Then realize this is going to be bad, is what it is.
Yeah, I think everybody got hit by some storms.
And they're talking 3.5. This is producing 3.5 inch hail.
Oh my God.
I have Chicago News pulled up here. thoughts on Kauffman Wren being left out on any of the Big Ten honors?
He had a slow start. To the year, even in Big Ten play, and then he got hot. I was just happy he was honorable mention. I was a little annoyed that Fletcher wasn't honorable mention, but I get it. But
I get it.
On my other podcast, I had Trey as the Big Ten preseason player of the year, so I was off the mark a little bit there. So,
it was a bummer. I thought, guys like Boyd had a case for first team. Because he really came on late. Yeah, I mean, there's
don't do 10 like the Big 12.
Yeah, there was a lot of guys had a lot of case to be first team. I think they got it right. It was just so tough.
Yeah,
I think they did. I think First team was no surprise. I was a little surprised by Hoiberg.
I think he should have won it outright. I mean Michigan was obviously deserves it, but I mean, they were still projected to be really good. I mean, if it wasn't Purdue,
lost two games.
They're impressive.
That
helps when you have the roster set in March.
They got theirs for next year set already. They're working back channels.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens.
Hey, it's a big conference week. It's a big weekend. A lot of meetings this weekend.
Yeah.
Happening.
Maybe they're talking to NBA players too. That would be great. That would be awesome. Someone that's a lottery pick just comes back and joins that team.
What's his name? Plays for Detroit, played at Michigan. He doesn't play anymore for Detroit because he played for Miami. Shooter
Duncan Robinson.
He's not playing. He might as well. He probably has an extra year somewhere. He's not playing for Detroit right now.
I was going to say, does Trey Burke come back at 30 and play?
What's Mitch McGarry doing these days?
I saw him. Well, that was about a decade ago. I saw him in Savannah, Georgia, out of nowhere. It was weird. It was the most random thing ever.
All right, I'm peacing out for this one.
All right, Aaron. See you, man.
See
ya.
See ya. You want to pick some Big Ten tournament games?
Sure, why not?
All right. With as of right now, it's 7:50 left in the first half. Northwestern's up 23-21 over Penn State.
Northwestern.
Tomorrow.
Who are you taking?
Oh, sorry, Northwestern. Sorry.
Yep.
What is this thing doing? All right, at noon Eastern, Maryland, who just beat Oregon tonight, plays Iowa.
I like Iowa in that one.
I do too. Maryland playing some spirited basketball.
Yeah,
hung with Illinois, but yeah. West Coast rivalry, USC versus Washington at 2:30.
Washington.
I'm with Washington there. The winner, which we
USC both had practiced at Barstool Chicago.
I saw that. I was just like, how unserious are we? How unserious are we? We both have Northwestern, so they would play Indiana at 6:30.
I got Indiana a close one.
I think so too, yeah. They'll obviously want payback for losing at home to Northwestern.
Well, and they're fighting for a lot. I mean, lose that one, you're not getting in. So.
Yeah. If they lose, they're done. And then wrapping up tomorrow night, Rutgers versus Minnesota.
I like Minnesota.
I do too. So then Thursday, that would be Iowa. Yeah, Iowa, Ohio State.
I like the Buckeyes. They're playing well all of a sudden.
I do too. Then you'd have what? We both had Washington versus Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yeah, give me the Badgers. Yeah.
Yep. We both have Indiana, Purdue. For the love of God.
Give me Purdue. Nothing would surprise me. I just can't stomach thinking IU goes 2-1 in the basketball series and wins the national championship in football.
In a year, they're not even good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think the seniors would be motivated to get that winning record against them.
Yeah. Well, and I like the matchup against them. But they can get hot from three, and our defense lets people do that. So.
Yep. And then Minnesota versus UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA. Dent's playing unbelievable basketball lately.
Yeah, give me UCLA. I'm trying to do this all off memory. So that would be Ohio State versus Michigan.
Yep. Michigan, the close one. These two, when they battle in the Big Ten tournaments, they're usually really good games.
Yeah. Yeah, give me Michigan. I think it could be one of those games where first game of the day, Ohio State's played a game already. They could, you know, come out maybe up like get up by 10 and then maybe even have a lead at halftime. And Michigan kind of wakes up in the second half and
takes it. I always go back to 2010 when it was I don't remember if Michigan was the 8 or 9 seed playing 1 seed Ohio State, and Evan Turner had a half quarter to win.
Yep.
Or they were out. So,
yep. Then Wisconsin versus Illinois.
I like Illinois in this one.
I do too, just because they lost at home, so they'll want that revenge without who they didn't have.
They were out Boswell, without Boswell and one of the Europeans.
I don't know. Lopeja.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me Illinois. I think that would be a close one. Again,
yeah.
I think Wisconsin's, again, one of those teams where I can see them making the Elite Eight. I can see them losing the first round. If they're not hitting from, three, then they're done. Then Purdue versus Nebraska.
I like Purdue. I know Lynch and Nebraska, but I like that matchup for Purdue.
Yeah, give Purdue another close one. And then finally, UCLA versus Michigan State.
Wouldn't surprise me to see UCLA win that game. I honestly think they have more raw talent, maybe, at least at the certain positions. But I think Michigan State wins a tight one.
Yeah. We both have Michigan versus Illinois.
Michigan.
Yeah. I was going to pick Illinois, but I realized I picked Michigan earlier. But, yeah, give me Michigan. I think whoever wins that game wins the tournament.
Yeah, probably.
Easy to say in top four teams. And then Purdue versus Michigan State.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm picking Michigan State.
And then, so obviously, you have Michigan versus – I haven't picked Purdue on that one. You have Michigan versus Michigan State, which that'd be a hell of a game for the Big Ten championship.
I have Michigan going 3-0 against them.
Yeah, and I've got Michigan beating Purdue, hopefully not getting blown out.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. You know, I was thinking today, well, at least we have two more podcasts after this, no matter what. We have one going into the March Madness, and then hopefully – it's more after that, but then we have a recap. But hopefully we have a couple more after
this. Yeah, recap of the first weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we're talking about going to Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's been obviously very frustrating from so many.
Yeah, I never would imagine the season was going to go like this. But
yeah.
It's basketball, I guess.
Yeah, and it is a – very privileged to be disappointed with the team that tied for fourth, like
it
obviously with the 7 seeds of tiebreakers, but we did tie for fourth. And looking at a potential 4 seed in the NCAA tournament as a massive disappointment.
I was going to pose this question to both of you and wait, is this serious? Sorry. I just had a text come across. Breaking news. Ravens back out of Max Crosby trade.
Wait, what?
I had a text that said,
Yep.
Oh my God.
Come on, Bears.
Oh, out of Vegas, especially with all the. Hey, maybe they can't sign all those free agents now that they were signing yesterday because maybe they won't have so much money. I wanted to get them out of the West. That was a rabbit hole I didn't expect. Give them to the NFC. Let the Bears have them. Get them out of the AFC completely. I wanted to pose this question to you and Lynch, but Lynch logged off for good reasons. How many years, if you had a guess right now on March 10th, 2026, how many years left is Matt Painter the head coach of Purdue?
How old is he right now?
Good question. Thank you. He is 55. We'll be 56 in August.
Man, it's still pretty young. Mm-hmm. My gut, when you asked me that, and I'll just go with that. That's what my gut said, and also kind of stirs a discussion. Probably my gut says 5.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I hope 10, but I think 10. It's closer to 5 than 10.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what would push him. If it's, you know, I mean, would it take a mass exodus of, like, you know, guys after even a good year, like? Mm-hmm. If God forbid, you know, we lose, like, you know, if a bunch of guys from this year's team decide just to leave, would that kind of have him rethinking some things? I don't know. He's obviously very super competitive, and
sure.
I still think he wants to get to, I mean, now that he's been there, I think he wants that title even more, knows he can do it and that his way can get him there. Obviously it takes a lot to go your way. But he's been there once, he can do it again. I firmly believe that. But yeah, it's, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed that, like, these things get a little reined in a little bit when it comes to, like, NIL and transfer portal. Hopefully that, it just seems like it should, because, I mean, like, I know Brian, you've been talking about, like, the guys who played right now, like, especially the senior class, like, you'd think they're going to make the most money out of anybody ever will, just because of, like, just the lawless land that we've had the last 4 years. But you hope that there's something that gets resolved from this. Not saying we obviously can't go back to what we were. I don't think we should go back to the way it was, like, guy should get paid
for. No, but
definitely it's not one of these things where it's like, you know,
pay for play. It's not
pay for play. Guy's playing 6-7. The joke writes itself. 6-7 years. you know, G League guys come. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's like what are we doing? Gotta draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. And you know, obviously, you can only do so much about tampering. But it's like you hear these stories. Like, it's just how open it is it? Like, you know, Michigan having guys locked up before the season ended last year. Which obviously, you know, it happens everywhere. It's just Michigan's kind of the scapegoat for it because they were just so aggressive about it. Obviously, we have a personal take on it with the main Big Ten and also going after Braden as hard as they did.
Right.
But you just hope that there's some, like, putting in maybe another transfer rule. It's like, hey, you can transfer once, and then you have to sit out a year after that, or unless your coach leaves, gets fired, whatever. Yeah. But this whole just free agency, it's entertaining in the offseason, assuming Purdue's not really involved in it, like, which is – then it makes it really fun because I'm just, like, watching the chaos from afar. But when Purdue's involved in, like, they are with football, which that's just another – I mean, it's hard to keep track of that one because there's just so many guys.
Yeah, and at least this year didn't kill them as bad as the year before.
Yeah.
But in football, at least they've put that thing on now that you know your team coming out of spring. Yeah. I like that. Like,
yeah. And I like that they changed the portal now to where it's like it's not until after the tournament or close to the end to where it's like
should be after last year, the damn thing. But
right. Last year it was like after the first weekend.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. What are we doing? So hopefully that gets rained in. But I don't, and going back to your question, like, I don't know what's going to, you know, it's just, hey, he's just done. Maybe he feels it's time to step aside. I don't know. But, I hope it's not for a long time.
All right, so you're guessing five seasons starting next year, five more.
Yeah.
Does he get to any more Final Fours? If so, how many? That's a tough question.
In five years.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it's like 5 years. Oh my god, like
yeah, pressure's on.
Uh huh.
I'd like to think he gets to at least one more.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, but it's tough to do. But
yeah, I think assuming people stay. I think that best shot would be in like 2 years.
Because like seniors, I was thinking yesterday, CJ,
senior Jakari, junior Daniel. You know, if Meyer's back, I don't know. You know, sophomore Luke Girdle, sophomore Jacob Weber, sophomore Sinan Juan, assuming he doesn't redshirt. Like junior Raleigh Burgess, like sophomore CJ or Antoine West. Like good God, that could be an awesome team. But also, we also said that 2 years ago.
Did you mention Jack Benter?
I didn't mention Jack Benter, Jumping Jack Flash. Good God. It's just like you think about it, you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, I know.
Not be
I know.
So good. And we also thought that last year, like, man,
exactly.
I know we're losing Edie, but can you imagine when Braden Fletch
and I know. When they're seniors, that's the year. Yeah. And like, I guess that's the thing. Like, I was thinking yesterday, like, would I be satisfied of paying it at the end when he calls it quits if he only got the one Final Four? Granted, he got the championship because he had so many other good teams that didn't get there. And I'm like, I would be satisfied, but yet I'd feel like there was so much left on the table.
I think I would, and depending on what obviously happens in those 5 years, I think I would just because it got to a point. I mean, there was, I mean, I feel like for a lot of my life until, I mean, the Virginia game, like where I was just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see Purdue in a Final Four. Like, just like, it's just, why can't it happen to us? Like, cause we're always, you know, we play well, but then we get the four seed and have to go against freaking UConn or Duke or somebody.
Yeah. Right.
Kansas and Kansas City. You just get absolutely
the bracket would never break our way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were, you know, a three seed and an eyelash away from going. And it was like, holy crap. Like, and you know, that was a team that, you know, started what?
6-5
and everyone was writing off.
Selfish as ever.
Yeah. It was just like,
yep.
The team that wasn't supposed to do it almost did it. It was okay. Like,
You
know, obviously it was just the whole, like, obviously Robbie's knee and all that. But it was just like, if the fact that we got there, then I got this, we got to witness it. At least the Elite Eight game, something I never thought I'd see.
Right.
Let alone play for a national championship.
Right.
So I think I would, but I'd obviously be very disappointed, but I think I'd still at the end be like, okay, we've seen it. Like, maybe that can springboard us into something else. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I was just, my mind was going weird spots yesterday, just thinking things for the podcast. So,
yeah.
Yep. So, all right. You want to pay some bills?
Let's do it.
All right. And our first sponsor, who's been sponsor for the last couple of years of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, is Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdowns are brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They are located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of us visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer by trying out their latest pizza of the month, which for the month of March is Rob's Crispy Bourbon Chicken. That's pizza topped with chopped crispy chicken, tossed in bourbon sauce, onions, celery, mozzarella cheese, and finished with toasted sesame seeds. And I believe that's a large for $14, if I'm not mistaken. So any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK526, that's all caps, B-R-E-A-K 526, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. Mad Mushroom, feed your head. Great spot to watch the Big Ten Tournament and March Madness.
Yes, sir.
And Webby, like always, has good-looking merch on. He's got the script shirt. Guessing you got that from the shop.
I did. Feels good. Fits good. I think a Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started out in their garage, and they've got 3 retail locations across Indianapolis. While the tournament's not in town this year, if you're finding yourself in Indianapolis, especially it's getting close back to the month of May. Is it in Vegas next year?
Oh, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, if you're in Indy, stop on by. They've always got great stuff, great selection of all things Indiana, whether it's universities, pop culture, you know, blue and gold, Indianapolis football, as they call it. Even if you have an Ohio State fan in your life, they've got stuff for that too. But if you're looking on, if you're shopping online, get a jump on early Christmas 2026 shopping. Go to the shopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown for free shipping. They actually just came out with 2 new Purdue designs, heavyweight tees. I meant to wear that one tonight, and I didn't. So they have two new designs drop for the postseason. Check them out. The shopindy.com promo code breakdown.
The Big Ten Tournament is in Indianapolis next year, Vegas in 2028.
Okay. I knew it was either Vegas next year or Indy next year, or if it was Indy.
So dumb. That's so dumb. We don't have a team out there. What in the world?
I mean, at the same time, also like that could be fun if you could make it like a weekend trip.
Yeah. New York was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll ever do that again.
Yeah. But also just like I had a coworker ask me, like, oh, you going to the Big Ten tournament if Purdue makes it to the weekend? I'm like, no, I don't really like I've seen us win it a couple times. Yeah. Like it's cool. Like unless Purdue like needs to win, I'm just like, just don't get hurt and you know, win a game or two. Like that's all I can really ask for.
I think the first Big Ten tournament I went to was Indianapolis one in high school, and it was like a Friday, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever because I'd never been to one. So you go there and you watch all the games and different fans,
especially cool. Friday, like the Friday. Friday is always because you have the 4 best teams.
Yeah,
my first one, I think I remember going to Chicago, and it was Illinois, Wisconsin. Because I remember seeing Devin Harris. I can't remember who won that one. If it was Wisconsin or Illinois, but it was a championship game. I don't remember which year that was, but it was fun. And then I was there in 2009. When Purdue won it.
Didn't you go in 2007 when we lost Ohio State?
I did. We had through connections, we had really good seats.
That was semifinal game because we had to beat Iowa the day before.
Had to beat Iowa. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah,
we did.
Because that was when I was like second row. This was like people who knew people seats. We somehow got and I Greg Oden with the free throw line, and I yelled, and that was after he had broken his hand. He was back to shooting right-handed, and he missed the first one. I said, "You're better left-handed," and he made the next one. So,
yeah, he wasn't too bad.
yeah. I didn't go to that one. I was there in 2009. I went in 2016 to the championship game we played Michigan State.
Yeah, I was at that one. I think he missed that one. Missed the three. Yeah.
I've been fortunate to have been to quite a few. I've been a couple years though, but it's always like I said, Friday is the best day. I went in 2022 when we lost to Iowa in championship game, went to that one. That one sucked.
I don't know the last one I've been to. It might have been 2016. I don't think I've. Well, no. 2018, New York. That was the last one I've been to.
Yeah. I think 2022 was the last one I've been to. I couldn't go in 2023 because our good buddy was getting married that day. I didn't go last year. So
last year was in Minneapolis. No, 2 years ago was in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So, all right, Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down. I can't go through all the nicknames because there's so many possible scenarios. But let's bring something home to show for the season.
Let's do it. Boiler up.